Canada is one of the only countries which deliver permanent residency on day one without any restrictions, including the spouse and the children.
The Global Passport Investor is your go-to podcast.
Welcome to the latest episode of the Global Passport Investor. I'm your host, Eric Major, an investment migration veteran with over three decades in the game. This is the latest in the series of talks that we have on citizenship, on residency, and all things investment migration. Now, if you're watching us on YouTube, please leave your questions in the comments section. And for those of you listening to this podcast, feel free to email your queries to question at globalpassportinvestor.com. Today, we're going to be talking about a very popular country and a very popular program called the Startup Visa, which is why you might detect a Canadian accent throughout today's podcast, eh? That's because both myself and my special guest, Ronit Sharma, who's, by the way, our strategic partner based in Toronto, both of us are proud Canadians, and so let's go down this ice rink and see where the puck leads us, okay? So without going too quickly in introducing you and giving you the mic, Ronit, I want to just introduce the concept of what is a startup visa. It's a residency by investment program for entrepreneurs. And what they do is they wind up investing in a Canadian startup. And by doing so, they could gain permanent residence for themselves and their family into Canada. And I want you, Ronit, to tell us all about how this works. So, Ronit, welcome to the show.
Bonjour, Eric. Thank you so much for having me on today's Global Passport Investor podcast. Looking forward to exchanging some notes with you today.
Cool. I'm really glad you're here. Before we get into the meat and potatoes of the startup visa, Ronit, let's begin with a light starter. If you said to me, Canada, what does that mean? To me, it means hockey, the Rocky Mountains, Poutine in my home province, and similarly in my home province, Céline Dion, maybe music from Bryan Adams or Gino Vanelli. What does Canada signify for you, Ronit?
For me, Eric, Canada signifies world-class education institutions, the Toronto Raptors, Montreal Canadiens, maple syrup, peaceful, beautiful scenery and fresh air, and very multicultural and safe. And yes, certainly poutine for sure.
Not good for your health, but certainly tasty. And I like all of those. I mean, it's a little bit of a stereotype when you bring in the maple leaf syrup, but it's what the world knows us for. Ronit, let's talk about this Canadian startup visa. How did it start and how did it begin and what's the history there?
Yeah, so the startup visa program to Canada launched in 2013. As a pilot program, which lasted up until 2018. In 2019, it became permanent. The genesis of the startup visa program to Canada essentially replaced the old federal bank investor program, which closed in 2011. And it's important to note in Canada, there's two governments, there's federal and Quebec. The Quebec investor program remained open up until 2019, but essentially the startup visa program to Canada replaced the bank investor program in 2011, mainly because the government did not like the passive aspect of the program and wanted the program to be more active.
Yes, it just wanted active migrants who can contribute both time and money to the economy.
Eh? And have a significant economic impact.
Yeah, thanks for that history. And how could you summarize for us the program requirements in a nutshell?
Sure.
What do you need to have to be able to apply for this?
Sure. So the program requirements, there's actually two types of program requirements. One's the government program requirements and one's the designated organization program requirements. But in terms of government program requirements, the startup, it can have up to five individuals as part of one group, and each applicant has to own minimum 10% shareholding in the startup. And essentially, the startup has to meet the definitions of the Canadian government. For example, the startup has to own the technology, it has to solve a problem, it has to have intellectual property associated with it, and provide value to consumers. So that's like the composition part of the start of the starter visa program to Canada. And then the applicant has to have a minimum level of 5 IELTS CLB in English or French. The applicants must be admissible based on their security and health background. And the application includes, you know, main applicant, spouse, and children under the age of 22. So that's the actual government requirement of the program. And ultimately, there is what's called designated organizations, which are appointed from the government to mandate and direct the program. Mm-hmm. And these government designated organizations actually issue what's called a commitment certificate and letter of support. And so they have requirements as well. And their program requirements are essentially twofold. One is that the applicants do have to play a supporting cast role into the startup, not be the driver of the bus, but be the passenger of the bus.
I like your Hollywood analogy, supporting cast.
Supporting cast.
Yeah, so not lead role.
Not lead role, supporting cast.
That's good, good.
And then another requirement from the designated organizations is that the applicants actually have to invest and commit some capital towards their 10% contribution towards the startup. And essentially, you know, raise the early stage capital for the founder to launch the startup.
So just to expand a little bit on that, because I get the overall profile of what Canada's looking to attract, but are there, you know, educational or trade or experience requirements per se?
Fortunately not. So education background is preferred, not mandatory. And management experience is preferred, not mandatory. However, if the applicant has management experience, which most of our clients do, and education background, then we're able to swiftly match them with a startup a little bit easier.
Okay, yeah. Great. Well, before we move on to the next question, let me remind our viewers that if you're a YouTube viewer, you can leave your questions in the comments section. And for those of you listening to the podcast, please email your questions at questions@globalpassportinvestor.com.
The greatest investment you could ever make is an investment in your future. Rift Trust and Latitude Group is the leading provider of residency and citizenship solutions for high net worth individuals.
Our clients are like our extended family. We're a global firm with a local focus.
What makes us truly unique is our leadership team. 100 years of combined industry experience, and we're working every day with governments to improve and build new residency and citizenship programs.
Obtaining a second residence or citizenship is the best modern insurance policy for you and your family.
Our clients expect the world.
We deliver it.
Hello to freedom.
Okay, so Ronit, let's continue along that same path. Could you walk us through what an applicant process would entail from beginning to end?
Sure. So after the client discovery initial call, as I would say, step one, once we officially onboard the applicant, there's two parallel avenues that the client is taking. One is for their immigration file and the compilation of their immigration file. And the next part is actually matching them with a startup from the designated organization. So this process of the incubation program that the designated organization does is approximately 90 to 180 days. Okay. And then ultimately, while we're completing the immigration file, the applicant is doing their incubation program with the group, with the founder, with the angel group or the venture capital fund group, and then ultimately working towards the commitment certificate and letter of support. Yeah. So in reality, it does take approximately 90 to 180 days to put a full file together, and then we submit the file.
And those are submitted at your Canadian embassies or consulates around the world, or centralized?
It's centralized in Sydney, Nova Scotia, and it's all online.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Canada is a popular place, and I know most of these programs command lengthy processing delays in terms of the government opining on them. So I think there's been some good news announced around government wanting to put attention and resource behind this. So what's the stated timeline for the government to opine on these applications right now? And what do you hope to see in the months ahead?
Yeah, great question, Eric. So As per the government website, as of today, it states 36 months, the average approximate time for the applications to go through. However, the government of Canada in June 2023 announced a directive to expedite and prioritize applications under the Angel Investor Group stream and the Venture Capital Fund stream. And we're witnessing a significant improvement. And we've, as our groups, we've gotten applications approved in 10 months and in approximately 18 months most recently.
Wow, that's actually good news, good news. Now, somebody goes through this process. What would you say to a listener who's contemplating Canada over other countries? You know, what benefits of having a Canada startup visa would they have, Ronit? I mean, what's the main attributes here?
Yeah,
they get?
So Canada, you know, in comparison to the other investor immigration programs out there, it's really an alternative plan A that I would have to say. It's a migration program. It's not your second passport. Mm-hmm. And it's not your minimum residency requirements in Europe. It's really for that family who have their children in the private schools and elite universities in Canada, and they want to shift their whole family to Canada. So and possibly open up a branch office and expand their business. But one of the main attractions for the Startup Visa Program to Canada is that not only are they getting immigration, but they're also partaking in a startup and having 10% equity in a startup. Granted, not all startups do great.
Yes.
However,
there's the occasional unicorn out there that does well.
Absolutely.
And everyone wishes for the unicorn, I know. Yeah. But I mean, in fairness, you're touching on what I think our audience needs to hear from us candidly, is that whilst you make an investment and you give it your best try in combining these applicants to a startup, are they probably best to go into this venture realizing or thinking that it could be lost? So that, you know, in terms of expectations, but of course they still get Canada, they still get residence, but in fairness of that capital outlay, great if it provides a great return on that 10% equity, but also, you know, knowing startups, they don't always go well.
I think we set the expectations from day one with our clients, and our clients are, you know, accredited investors, pretty savvy. They understand that their capital is at risk. But we're finding now from our clientele, they actually have amazing finance, marketing, or operations experience that they want to give back to this young founder and actually try to move it forward.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Listen, Ronit, we have a big neighbor to the south in Canada that we always compare ourselves to. So I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. How does the Startup Visa of Canada compare to the U.S. EB-5 investor?
Well, I've been waiting for this question, Eric, and I'm glad that you asked me for the comparison, because it's the competition for us. So there's three key points, actually, three or four key points that differentiate the US EB-5 investor program and the Canada Startup Visa program. One is the price point. The US EB-5 investor program is $800,000 USD with syndication and legal fees. The cost comes to about $900,000. Our offerings, we have three offerings, which start at approximately $200,000 US and upwards. Mm-hmm. So we're a fraction of the cost of the US EB-5 program. And I always like to do this calculation for the US EB-5. With the US, the $800,000 is parked for 5 years at zero interest typically.
Yes.
So generally speaking, clients expect 10% on their money. So 10% on $800,000, $80,000. Times
lost
five,
opportunity.
Lost opportunity cost, so that equates to $400,000. So even taking the cheapest offering that we have, which is $200,000 US, you're still ahead of the game.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
That's number one. Number two, the drawback of the US EB-5 investor program is that it has a conditional visa for 2 years. And ultimately, the regional center, they have to prove to USCIS that they created a minimum of 10 jobs per investor. And if the 10 jobs are not created or the government's not satisfied, the green card could be at jeopardy. So this is, you know.
So we don't have that risk in Canada?
We don't have that risk in Canada.
Because it's a permanent
From residency. Day one, it's permanent residency. And that's where we excel. OECD, which we'll talk about shortly, they've ranked 10 to 15 countries who have started visa programs. And Canada is one of the only countries which deliver permanent residency on day one without any restrictions, including the spouse and the children as well.
Yeah, well, you referenced OECD. I got to interject because you're right. In addition to the benefit you just outlined, they have ranked Canada as one of the top, if not the most attractive destination for startup founders. Why is that? Why do you think it's Canada up there?
Personally, I think one of the main contributing factors, you know, Canada's population is quite limited, just over 40 million people. Yeah. It's estimated by the turn of the century, Canada will have 100 million people in the country.
I can't imagine that.
Yes, that's a lot. So I'm positive that founders, you know, look at this as a positive, that country, that Canada is on a country of exponential growth. Number one. Number two, Canada has a very strong ecosystem and, important for these founders to be part of, for partnerships, funding, capital raise, government grants, etc. Very welcoming, for these founders. Number three, very easy to do business in Canada. You can set up your company and go do it. You know, so
there's very few barriers on the business side. I would agree with you on that. So it's just a prosperous environment, really.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't hurt that we're tied to the hip to the world's largest economy. It kind of gives us a lot of opportunities that maybe other nations would have. Ronit, I want to remind our viewers that if they're looking at us on YouTube, that they should leave their questions in the comment section. And similarly, for those of you listening to the podcast, don't hesitate to send us your questions at questions@globalpassportinvestor.com. Now, Ronit, the Honorable Sean Fraser, who is your Minister of Immigration, Refugee and Citizenship, he allocated more spots for the startup visa. You referred to that, and that was a recent announcement, I believe. And he's also showing for further increases in the next 2 years. So how is this going to play out on the 36 months? Can we really think that we're going to see some tackling of that lengthy delay? Or is that just going to fuel even more demand?
So great question. Eric, as you know, the government dealings is not always exact science. The general outlook for Canadian immigration, though, as they have a general target of actually 500,000 permanent residents per year.
For all categories per year.
So it's important to know, like, what's the government's overall target for immigration and where are we sitting at with, you know, Canada's startup visa program. So really, even in the middle, if it's 5,000, you know, quota per year that they allocate to this program, it's like 1%. That they're allocating. This being said, we believe that the pipeline of applications is anywhere from 10 to 15,000 applications in queue. And with the recent allocations of 4,000 next year, 5,000 year after, and 6,000 thereafter, that's how they get their equation of 36 months approximately. But, you know, in terms of how much staying power does the Canada Startup Visa Program have? In my professional opinion, I would have to say that this program should be in existence under the current terms for 2.5 years for sure. And then if it lasts 5 to 6 years, there will be some different changes and possibly new capital requirements and other conditions, and possibly having more capital on the table for these startups to actually do something more tangible.
I think that's an important overall analysis or statement to say about not just immigration in general to Canada, but to all these programs, is they launch, they test, they give it a year or two or three, and then they either tweak or tighten, or in the worst scenario, pull it off the shelf. So Canada had it out there, tested it during no less COVID and the pandemic, saw that it was getting some good traction, good receptivity, decided to put further resources behind it, is what I'm hearing from your minister, from our minister in Canada, And it shows that they're committed to entrepreneurs who are coming with brilliant ideas.
And so what I think also lacks in the delivery of the program amongst the service providers is that the definition of who qualifies and their percentages, the applicants, the five applicants, they have to have minimum 10%. And the founder plus up to four applicants, co-shareholders, they have to own minimum of 15%. Okay. Which leaves an opening, actually. And so I believe that it's been identified with some various stakeholders that there could be more foreign capital being invested into these startups launching in Canada as
Indeed.
Well.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, I mean, that's the key. You and I were talking about it earlier during our team presentation. I mean, there's been opportunities or routes available for those who maybe have a great idea and want to incubate that idea but didn't necessarily have a capital commitment. But it seems like the needle is shifting towards the real committed, financially committed investor, and that's where the future will lie. And if anything, could we expect those financial commitments to go up in the passage of time?
I think so, yeah.
Because how else are they going to control the flows? Yeah. Hey, Ronit, I know you've been globetrotting the world for many years doing this wonderful business. I wonder, the startup visa, where is the demand mostly coming from? Like which jurisdictions are showing interest towards the startup visa?
Yeah, thanks, Eric. Really important question. Generally speaking, the demand is global, all out global. Wherever the high net worth individuals are, they are seeking Canada as their option for second residency, which is going to lead to citizenship. This being said, Nigeria is quite busy for me lately. And of interesting note, we're getting a lot of applicants from the U.S. market who are wanting to move to Canada.
Yeah, you know, the U.S. market is this fascinating story pretty much since the pandemic where, you know, for years we'd be developing that market, trying to explain to Americans the benefit of a second citizenship or residency, and they'd look at you with some starry-eyed, why would I like that or need that? But something's happened since the pandemic, most certainly. And of course, if you read the news, the geopolitics there is quite, and local politics there is quite volatile as of late. So yeah, it makes sense to me that if they're going to be thinking about that, that Canada would be top of mind. So you've actually done inquiries and had inquiries or cases from the United States?
Absolutely, and one of the most popular states is from California.
Wow, that's where our clients. You think the world wants to go to California?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I find that fascinating. I know we had a case together, which surprised me insofar as you know that there's a lot of neighboring countries that could attract a Malaysian with you know
that's right.
New Zealand and
that's right.
and Australia always being highly sought. But I know that client was quite intrigued by the Canada startup visa. Really had a startup in mind, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
And it was a real meal deal. Yeah. I'm not surprised. And you said Nigeria.
Nigeria.
I know that's an important market. Again, English-speaking, entrepreneurial, often quite educated.
Yeah.
Listen, Ronit, we're at that stage of the show where I ask our guests to share a story, a cutesy little anecdote. So imagine that we're somewhere in Nova Scotia, we're having our lobster rolls, and that we're swapping anecdotes, and then now I'm going to ask you to share one.
Sure.
One about either yourself or Canada or the industry or your business. So I know you probably have a few, but it's a family show.
Sure.
So choose one that is appropriate.
Absolutely. Thanks, Eric. This is some fun time. So I'll share an industry anecdote. So I'm in the south of France on vacation with my family the summer of 2011. And that's when I find out the Federal Bank Investor Program is closing, canceled. Such terrible news.
Yeah, I remember and, that. That was not a good day.
Red wine certainly helped during that time. But it's important to know that Canada is a forward-thinking country which is coming up with great investor immigration programs at all times. If one program closes, they will come up with a new program. And as such, the closure of that program actually was the genesis for why we're here today, talking about the startup visa program to Canada.
Indeed. There'll always be, yeah, 100%. I mean, I've been doing this a little longer than you, and I've discovered and learned one thing about this industry. If a door shuts, there's a window open somewhere. So it's for government and frankly practitioners to find that other opportunity, and it'll have a different look or feel or structure to it. But in the end, it's still a wealthy, high net worth individual with their family wanting a better opportunity for their children. And I have to say, I'm biased as a Canadian, but Canada's probably the best offering out there in the marketplace. You said, and I agree with you, that Canada has a very progressive immigration policy. You have it also quite decentralized at the provincial level, and anyone who knows how big and wide Canada is with its 5 time zones and 10 provinces, there's a lot of diversity there in terms of where you would want to settle. But I know with you in Toronto and helping us that we could navigate our clients through that. So Rona, I wanted to thank you for coming in today, flying in from Toronto here in Dubai, and really enjoyed our chat there, Rona. And I'm looking forward to the opportunity to doing this maybe next year. I'll quiz you more on that timeline and how long it's taken.
That's right.
But any final comments before I let you go?
Yeah, Eric, likewise, it's been a pleasure to connect over with you on this great initiative that you've launched. In summary, Canada is absolutely an excellent option for high net worth individuals who want to create an alternative plan A for themselves, for their children, and relocate to North America.
Excellent. Well said, Ron. I couldn't agree with you
so
more.
Much.
Thanks for dropping by. So for those listening, please stay tuned for the next episode of the Global Passport Investor, where we continue to walk you through the world of investment migration. Thank you.